A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to hold your ground. So stand fast with your loins girded in truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, and your foot shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and supplication, pray at every opportunity in the Spirit. To that end, be watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the holy ones and also for me, that speech may be given me to open my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, so that I may have the courage to speak as I must. Verbum Domini. Blessed be the Lord, my rock. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for battle, my fingers for war. My mercy and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield in whom I trust, who subdues my people under me. O God, I will sing a new song to you. With a 10-string lyre, I will chant your praise. You who give victory to kings and deliver David, your servant, from the evil sword.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. Some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Go away. Leave this area because Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons, and I perform healings today and tomorrow, and on the third day I accomplish my purpose. Yet I must continue on my way today, tomorrow, and the following day. For it is impossible that a prophet should die outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how many times I yearn to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you are unwilling. Behold, your house will be abandoned. But I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, Behold, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Verbum Domini. To read from a spiritual work of Bonaventure, Saint Bonaventure, The Tree of Life. Now that the agony of the Passion was over, and the bloody dragon and the savage lion thought they had obtained victory by murdering the lamb, the power of divinity began to shine forth in his soul descending into hell. Through this power, our strong lion of the tribe of Judah, rising against his fully armed foe, tore away its prey, broke down the gates of hell and shackled the serpent, disarming the principalities and powers. He displayed them openly, leading them away in triumph. Now Leviathan has been led about with a hook, his jaw pierced by Christ himself. Thus Satan, who had no power over the head he had assaulted, lost also any power he seemed to have over the body. Again, that's from Saint Bonaventure. That Jesus, in a certain sense, as the divine fisherman or the divine bait. So every time we recite the Nicene Creed during the Mass or in general, we profess faith, belief in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, of all things seen and unseen, or those, all that is visible and invisible. Among these are the angels, purely spiritual beings, not proper in a certain sense to the visible world, but acting within it. Among these are demons, those who are fallen, those whom our Lord casts out. He said, Behold, I cast out demons and continue on my way. The Church's creed is basically an echo of what Paul writes to the Colossians. For in him, Christ, all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So tradition has understood these four names to refer to both human realities, to the powers of the world, and to the four spiritual choirs of angels, four of them, we name nine. So although Paul is referring principally in these passages to the fallen members of each choir, each retains principally and primarily the faithful angels who continue to adore God faithfully in fidelity to their created nature. So as we pray in devotion to our angels and our guardian angels, but also to those who are faithful in each of these to protect, to provide, to care, to guide. So I want to focus in primarily on St. Paul in the first reading. If we are to endure until the day of the Lord's return, to that definitive morning when all creation shall say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," to see him in all his glory. That day when the Lord will be revealed in all his glory, descending from his throne, surrounded by myriads of angels. If we are to endure through the present darkness, we are to put on the armor of God. In his letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul presents the image of the armor. In his letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul presents, again, I said it twice, the image of the armor. So every creature is to be clad in this armor, that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. Surprisingly, our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and with the powers, with the world rulers of the present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. St. Paul is writing this, is speaking this, even as he is chained. He says, "Even as I am chained, I write this to you." So although it's easy to think that St. Paul's looking just right next door, right outside the door, to those Roman soldiers who surrounded him in those days, or to the gladiators who fought in the stadiums, more surely he's drawing upon various passages in the prophet Isaiah and from the book of Wisdom 5:17. In Isaiah, each piece of armor is a metaphor, an attribute of the way in which God himself engages in this cosmic battle. And of course, God is almighty, and his divinity is incomparable to the angels in power. So he doesn't have to try. God doesn't have to try, he does. He speaks. So all the supposed power of the angels lies within God's providence. While it would be well worth tracking down, so every reference in Isaiah in this to go through Wisdom 5:17, I'd like to look at the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. So in chapter 59 of Isaiah, so homework to read chapter 59 of Isaiah, a law court is laid open before us, and a suit is pressed against the sinner, that is us, who begins to recognize that we are in need of a redeemer in our darkness. Quote, "We look for justice and we find none, for deliverance, but it is far away." And furthermore, our attempts at justice and righteousness fall flat. that truth has stumbled in the streets. Truth is nowhere to be found. So as there is no one who can restore justice in this situation, God will gird himself with armor and bring victory. So beginning at verse 15. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intervene. Then his own arm brought him victory, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in fury as a mantle. According to their deeds, so will he repay. Wrath to his adversaries, requital to his enemies, to the coastlands he will render requital. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, in his glory from the rising of the sun. And he will come to Zion as Redeemer. To those in Jacob who turn from transgression, says the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you. And my words I will have put in your mouth will always be upon your lips, and the lips of your children, and on the lips of their descendants from this time on and forever. So in the Eucharistic prayer, in the third Eucharistic prayer, we speak about from the rising of the sun to its setting, that this covenant would be celebrated. And in a certain sense, that the word placed upon our lips is our Lord in the Most Holy Eucharist. That this is, as we are, well, let me get into this. So in all the mysteries of the incarnation, in every mystery, every moment of the incarnate life of Christ, from conception to passionate death, and then into his resurrection and ascension, our Lord has restored justice to the earth and brought victory to those who belong to him. And in baptism, we are clothed with Christ, first of all. And now the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the armor we are to put on is not something apart from him, but it is his very self, whom we receive in the Most Holy Eucharist. And as St. Paul says more directly to the Romans, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires, and to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. So the question becomes, will we let God be our Redeemer? Will we let him win the victory within us? We should not fear, though the earth should rock and the mountains fall into the depths of the sea, because God is with us, to deliver us from the present darkness, from the rulers of this age. Jesus will accomplish his purpose in us if we allow ourselves to be brought under his wing, his care, his protection, so manifest, so powerful in the cross.